Blog Talk Radio.
Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix Lafay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Here we go.
Yes, we do. We are here, and believe it or not, alive. I know we've been on a hiatus for a while.
Yeah, sorry about that. We kind of lied and said, we'll be back next week with the Ask a Witch segment, and it's been several weeks. But we're back with the Ask a Witch segment.
Well, at least we're consistent with Ask a Witch.
And
I have to take, you know, some responsibility for that, because when I did finally go to Arkansas to be there for 2.5 weeks to visit my family and all, it got to the where the schedule is we've changed our time to 1 o'clock Pacific Coast time. Unfortunately, that is 3 o'clock in Central time, which when you're there, and I was totally off base and lost, and it became obvious that when I was trying to schedule time to meet my daughter or spend time with the family, the afternoon was where everybody started warming up, so I kind of had to say, well, that's why I'm here, so it's my fault. I'm taking responsibility for that.
Yeah, well, it's fine. Life happens, and it's an interesting time, so we just got to be flexible.
Yeah, really. I guess that's a biggie. So considering that, yeah. And then, of course, we had, you know, different holidays, Sabbaths, and things that came in. So obviously we are back on track. And, yes, I'm back in California. And so it will be, I guess, more even now that we are kind of doing our thing as we've done it before. So. But anyway, how has your time been since, I can't even say week, I just have to say since we last connected?
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I can't remember what we have talked about before, but I think I mentioned that we got a kitten. So we got a kitten in my house, and he's adorable, and he's 3 times the size that he was when we got him, and he's a Beltane baby, we found out. So, you know, just hit the 3-month mark. Super cute. That's been a fun distraction. The shop is going well. We're open 7 days a week again. Still reduced hours. We're not quite back to our full schedule, but reduced hours, but 7 days a week. And I've had 2 employees come back in the last 2 weeks, and that's been wonderful, because up until then it was just me, which is, you know, it's fine. It's my business. Like, I get that. But it's a lot to be on the floor of a retail shop with COVID and all of the amount of cleaning and wiping down and reminding people to wear masks and hand sanitizing. And like, it's the amount of diligence it takes to be in a retail business right now is exhausting. So it's really great to have staff back. And, you know, I'm on tenterhooks for when we have to go on lockdown again, if that comes up. So, you know, like you, before the call started, you mentioned astrology, Elvira, and I was just thinking about the, I don't know the specifics of the astrology, but I've heard that October is going to be even more intense than the beginning of the year was. So I'm just, I'm like girding my loins, preparing for the fall and the potential for what might land in our laps. Yeah, so, you know, everything's really intense, but I'm finally, like, I got a book contract during, at the very beginning of the lockdown back in March, and I've not worked on it. Like, every day I open my document and stare at the blank page, and I'm excited about the topic, and I'm excited to write about it. I just, it's not writer's block. It's like an emotional block. I don't have the capacity to express, I think, right now. I don't know what it is. It's not writer's block, though. It's something else. I'm blaming it on the time. But I try to trick myself. One of the mythological characters, gods, what have you, that I'm going to include in my new book is Circe. So I thought I'll do a goddess gathering, you know, the workshops that I regularly do on Circe, and maybe that will be a good catalyst for getting me to start writing. And it worked at least yesterday. I wrote a bunch. I'm feeling really excited. I got a whole new idea on, like, something to add into this book. So I'm excited about that, and I hope that this little blast of inspiration, you know, propels me a little bit further than I've been. And, you know, that's pretty much it. It's just been work. We're not, my family still isn't going anywhere. We're not going grocery shopping. We're not going, we're still very much sheltered in place. The only thing is that I go and work in the shop. Yeah, that's it over here. You've been traveling, though. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, I've been traveling. That was an excursion. Well, I am Sag, you know, and I guess that is part of the energy. I mean, I've traveled a lot over my lifetime. And so to me, I guess this was one more of those uncharted waters that we did. So, you know, travel was interesting. I planned for every possible thing. I think I had 2 bags of gloves and 2 bags, you know, like plastic Ziploc bags of baby wipes. And I had, you know, hand lotion, you know, the hand sanitizers and, you know, hand sanitizer spray. And, you know, I was carrying all this on my carry-on, by the way, plus the roller one that I had. I had extra things there along with, you know, things that I take on that go with me rather than go in my luggage. And I had one of the face shields, and I put that on, and, of course, I had an extra one with me in case something happened to the one I was wearing, and masks and, you know, gloves. And I wore, you know, long pants and long sleeves sort of covered as much as my body, you know. You know, you're going to be in air conditioning anyway. You're going to be in places that it didn't matter if you were sweltering. Because it was air conditioned. But it was, everybody wore masks. Everybody were, you know, social distance within context within the airport. And I took I had to take a big airplane into one airport, and then a littler one into the airport that I go into, Arkansas. And of course, that meant three airports. So I checked each one of them for what their protocols were, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was actually reasonably good. I mean, only in San Francisco, right? Only there. I thought it would be more likely in Arkansas that I would hit this. But in the airport, you have everybody masked up, and, you know, they were all, you know, there's social distancing and sitting in the seats, and they had things marked. And but these two guys, you know, macho guys, had their masks hanging on their ear while they chatted with each other. And
oh my God.
Food. And then they got, you know, we got ready to board, and they got up there, and so they had their masks hanging on until they were ready to board, until they said, yes, you can go on, and then they threw it on. And I was just sitting there. I was farther away from them and tried to stay far away. And I'm like going, you jerks. Got on the plane. Everybody, you know, they had separations of seats. Like, you know, you're, you know, one here and then nobody here and then one here. They gave you these heavy duty throwaway hand sanitizer towels that you could wipe off your entire area if you felt you wanted to, because they basically would wipe off everything anyway, and you know, in the plane and all, but got to do it again. And that was fine. Unfortunately, they had a half-hour delay on leaving San Francisco. I had an hour between the flight landing and the flight I left to go to Fayetteville. I didn't know Houston Airport, and I now know it very well. But with the half-hour delay, it meant that I most likely might not make the connecting flight. And, oh, by the way, they have limited flights. That's the last flight into Fayetteville, which is where I was getting picked up, which is near my daughter's house. And I'm, like, freaking out. We got there, and I literally ran. And you don't run, you know, with a face guard on and a face mask on and gloves on and not feel like you're going to fall over. And I had to get on a tram, and then they sent me to another section, and then I had to run across the thing. I literally was almost in tears by the time I got to the gate, and the guy's sitting there going, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And he's taking my thing. I was the last person on that plane, literally. And I'm like, you know, I get on, and we're you know, it was a little fuller than the other one, but it's smaller, but we had distance. And I just sat there and literally for the 40 minutes that it was, because it was a short flight, I had to just breathe. And I was so stressed by that. And because normally they've had, United specifically, has a direct flight. They have a mid-sized plane, and they fly it from SFO to Fayetteville. And it was more or less contracted by Walmart because of the interactions of people coming from, you know, Bay Area, California to there that did business. And so,
interesting.
Course, and when this came, they discontinued that. And so that put us in this other place. And when my daughter picked me up, because she was there, and she just, I told her, bring Lysol spray. And so she actually got some. She's small, and I was so fucking lucky I got some. And then she sprayed my outfit, sprayed the entire, all my luggage, my carry-on. And then I said, now you spray me. And she looked at me and goes, no. I go, yes. So, you know, sprayed everything. And then, you know, I took my shield, and, you know, I hugged her, you know, and then we got in the car. But it was... And then it was like I got to the place and I had to, you know, I sprayed everything down again when I got into the house, because the gentleman that I stay with is the father-in-law to my daughter. Yeah. And, you know, he's got some stuff going on. So I you know, kind of went, okay, spray everything, strip clothes off, take that shower, wash clothes. And, you know, then I was ready to participate. And then the rest of it was pretty good, pretty easy going. The flight back was less traumatic, and quite frankly, they were better timed. But the TSA was a real joke, because SFO is great. They have these wonderful automated trays, and it's like big trays, and I mean it was magnificent. And it was, I've gone there enough times. They added this as part of their new protocols. Fayetteville, small airport, you put things in, and of course, you know, get to my medicine bag. This was the fun part both times, because I wear the jewelry I normally wear, and I pick it up, and I throw it over my shoulder, and of course, my medicine bag goes over the shoulder as well, because I'm wearing it on a leather strap. And first time, they wanted to take it, and they said, what's in it? And I said, stones and feathers and dirt. And they look at me. And they said, well, we're going to have to wipe it down. So they have to wipe it down to make sure it doesn't have any gunpowder or anything. So they wipe it, you know, and they go, and they want it. And I go, okay, fine. The second place coming from Fayetteville was even funnier. They said, can we x-ray it? I said, sure, you can x-ray it. So I pick it up and I hand it to them. They send it through and then they give it back to me. You know, it sucks sometimes.
It's got to be fun when
travels.
A witch goes through the TSA. I've heard a lot of funny stories about different things like cauldrons and crystal balls and all kinds of weird shit. Like I brought home a wand from Glastonbury when I was in the UK a year ago, and I thought for sure, because it kind of looks like a vampire steak, I thought for sure they were going to try to take it. I was so worried about it.
Yeah.
Fun.
And depending on where you're at, like, you know, San Francisco, I say it's a medicine bag, you know, and they kind of look at you and go, oh, okay, fine. I say that over in Arkansas, and they kind of look at you kind of like, But, yeah, there's all those stories about what you carry and, you know, how much you have to bring out and stuff. But the visit itself was incredible. I looked at a lot of places, and that was the other problem why we couldn't do the shows, is those were the days that my real estate person said, we're putting, like, three things on for you to look at, you know, and it's like, fine, I'm here to do this. I better look at this shit kind of stuff. So,
right.
It was pretty, you know, interesting, and came up with a couple of ideas on, you know, possibly different locations that I've been looking at. 4th of July was a – Californians would have a freak out. I do all the time, and I mean, the fireworks, they line up on the street, and this is a long street. It's more rural, and they have – each family has, like – we're talking – rockets. We're talking, you know, the kind that go up and come down in little sparklies, and oh my God, and it's all over. And I'm sitting here thinking, my only thought was drug the dogs, drug the cats, for crying out loud, because of course it's really loud. But it goes up in the trees, and of course California, I'm like,
right,
watch out,
right.
Do we have a hose? Is it, you know, because it's wet there. They don't care,
right.
You know,
no, like
they do care.
My dad lives in Washington State, and it's like that there, too. Like, I remember one 4th of July at my dad's house. It was, it wasn't raining. It was, like, sprinkling, and my cousins were lighting off all these crazy, huge, scary things up into the trees, but it was literally raining at the same time. Like, they just weren't even worried about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's not like that where we live.
Oh, heck no, and I was, you know. That was the other, like, culture shock that I still go through, even though I've done this, you know, now on, you know, for over 5 years being there. But my granddaughter loved it. It was like she grabbed a hold of me and go, no, and she would show me her room. And then she spent a lot of time wanting to cuddle, and I was just like, so to me, it was incredible.
That's
and,
cute.
You know. And people were mandatory. There was, by the time I was halfway through my visit, the governor made it mandatory for masks to be on.
Nice.
You know, so, you know, there's a lot going on there that, you know, that is very similar. So it was. But anyway, that's it. So back here in beautiful, lovely Santa Rosa and.
Yay.
Doing my thing, and so I think we have questions, don't we?
We do, yeah. We're doing our Ask the Witch show, which, you know, it's where we answer your questions, and you can go to our website, witchpriestesscauldron.com. There's a little questionnaire to fill out. We have a lot of questions today, a lot, and we probably won't get through all of them. So if you did write in and you didn't hear your question, just send it to us again. And we do this show every couple of months, every 8 weeks or so. And it's not because your question wasn't good enough or wasn't interesting or we didn't like it. It's just we ran out of time. So,
yeah. So it does tend to be a kind of interesting situation. So I think, you know, based on that, we'll start with one of our first ones. It's a long question.
I also want to just say that a couple of these questions were longer than this, and I edited because, you know, it's great to send us a whole page of what your situation is, but we can't read that on the show. So I edit these questions and leave in the most important bits. So that's, okay. So if you're hearing your question, you're like, that's not what I wrote. Yeah, it's not, because it was too long. Sorry.
Truly, truly. So why don't you go with the first one, and we'll go with that.
Sure. Okay. Let's see. I have to find my questions. Oh, here they are. Okay. So this question's from Angelic. They write, my whole life has had misfortune in it, and it feels like my family is cursed, but lately I've been feeling worse. My sister appeared on Thanksgiving with her son one day and started staying with my family and I. She is so toxic. She enjoys witchcraft as well as I do. I love showing her all my books and all my crystals. She seemed really nice at first. Then she started acting really mean, having big mood swings, and started to steal all my things. I think she's hexed me. I need help to move on in my life and have happiness, tranquility, peace, positive energy, and flow. So basically, you know, what I assume the question here is, what do I do about my family being cursed? What do I do about the fact that my sister cursed me? And how do I get better shit in my life than what I've been dealing with?
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right. So the concern I would have here, and the first thing, even hearing you, I mean, I read it, but hearing it is the sister still there?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is always an issue when you're dealing with something that's still physically in your presence.
Yeah, based on the question, because I did edit this one, I'm pretty sure she said that her sister stole a bunch of her stuff and then disappeared and left her kid behind. I'm pretty sure that's what she said.
Ah. Okay.
So the sister is not in the picture, but there's still an attachment because of the family.
Mm-hmm. What would your idea be on this one?
Well, you know, my first suggestion is some major uncrossing work needs to be done. You know, whether your sister did hex you or not. You know, you've talked about having like misfortune your whole life, your family having misfortune, there was your sister having issues. And she also mentioned another sibling who had a drug addiction in her longer letter. So it does feel like there is something familial here. I personally don't think you can break a family curse on your own. I think you may need to find a worker in your area, whether that's someone who does root work or shamanic type healing, soul retrieval, or someone who does any of the Afro-Caribbean traditions where they really do focus on some of these more generational issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Find someone to help. But in the meantime, you know, get some hyssop, get some uncrossing products, take a good bath, do a 13-night cycle of cleansing baths. That's where I would start.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah.
I would add sage. You know, sage the house, or use Florida water. You know, cleansing the house, especially where she stayed, and over your own items that you may still have, any of the magical items that you still have. As far as her son is concerned, if you still have the son staying there, I don't know age bracket, but, you know, again, if you could, you know, do a little bit of a cleansing bath with him, getting him cleared off, or, you know, somehow, just because he is a connection to that energy, but not necessarily depending on age. He might be young, and of course, if he's, you know, a young kid, it's not necessarily a conscious connection. It's
right.
Their son. So, but I do agree with you. A root worker, shamanic soul retrieval to work on the family process, which would then lessen what you're experiencing and work on clearing it. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, and you know, I would say you could also look at cutting cords and separating yourself from your sibling. But my experience is that it's really hard to completely cut yourself from blood family. You know, you can cut some of any, if there's any toxic hooks in you that she's intentionally done, I think you have a better chance of removing those. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you do share blood. And so that makes it really hard to completely cut yourself off from her spiritually or energetically. And I think what Elvira just said is really smart. You know, if you do some healing on this family, potential family curse that you may be experiencing, that's going to also start to help healing some of your relationships. So yeah, it sounds like it's intense for you, and I hope you're able to find a worker in your area to help you.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, someone local may or may not be able, depending on the circumstances with COVID, come out, but they have a better, they're able to know the environment you're in. Like, we do say that long distance work is valid, but sometimes it's easier if you're in the area locally that you can connect more realistically, and probably can even do it through Skype or Zoom or some of the actual alternatives we're now using as, you know, substitutes for in person. You can, you know, do that. So that I know
is
possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. I think we feel comfortable with as much as we can give on such a large and all encompassing subject. Because
absolutely.
I know there's probably, we could spend the entire time talking about that. But
totally. Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so we have Dakota, and hers is, I've always liked the idea of witchcraft, but recently I've become very interested in it. I think it's extremely fascinating, and I've done some research. However, I'm still not sure exactly where to start. I have no ingredients. Many spell books mention, nor supplies for an altar or means to acquire these things. From the things I've seen, that's okay, and the mindset is the most important part. However, having these physical tools strengthens the energy and possibility when practicing magic. I suppose what I'm asking is what I might be able to do other than think and meditate without all the supplies and tools for a proper altar in the ways of spirit. I've communicated with spirits before, but I wondered if you have any advice about further communication and how to do it safely.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I love this question.
Yeah, it really does. It gives you a large leeway here. One of the things that I would ultimately say as far as altars, I mean, this is really easy. It sounds really that there's so much you need to do, but you can get a stick. We talked about this in our different tools of the shows that we've done. But, you know, you just get a cup. It could be a mug.
Yep.
It could be, you know, any cup that you have that you want. If you don't have china, you use a paper cup. You have a stick for a wand. The earth is easy. Salt. Most everybody that I know of has salt, and you can do a little salt for the earth. I mean, a rock on your property or you find somewhere, you can use that as an element. Fire is pretty easy. Most of us do have candles or you know, like a birthday candle or I've even talked to people that might have LED lights, you know, the little tea candle LED lights, but you use that. Those are the things you can set up with an altar. And, you know, if you want to use a pentagram, you know, a lot of times that is part of traditions is you find a piece of paper and you draw a pentagram on it and you put it there. So makeshift, yes. You know, one of the things that both Phoenix and I have in our wanderings of our own growth, we've done things where we are, you know, sort of like the vision quest. You go out into the wilderness. You don't have all your wonderful tools in your little bag that you drag with you. You go
right.
Set up literally use the elements that are out there, and I think that would be my first thing that I would jump on in terms of items that you have available to make your altar. Now, I'm going to turn it over to you to kind of go in another direction in terms of the question because it's many layered.
Yeah, I think, you know, I love this question because this speaks to a lot of some of what I see going on the larger community scale of witchcraft right now is this witchcraft aesthetic. You may have heard me refer to it as hashtag witchcraft, right? You know, and if you're on social media, there is this misconception that you have to have all of these trinkets and things to be a practicing witch, and it's all about the things. And, you know, I run a retail witchcraft store, right? So I'm very familiar with the things, like I'm selling things. And you don't need any things. Your whole entire body is all the thing that you need. If you can't, you don't want to go and pick a stick up from a local park, great. Use the first two fingers of your dominant hand. There's a wand and an athame right there. Like Elvira said, use a paper cup, use your coffee mug. There's your chalice. You know, you don't have to have any things. As far as the spell books, there is an alternative. You know, witchcraft is for people who have nothing. Witches had to make do with what they had. That's what magic's all about, making do with what you have. So if you don't have the stuff and you don't have the means to buy the stuff, then look at what you do have. Look in your spice cabinet. What can you replace? What does that spell book say? And what can you shift it for? You know, if the spell book says you need a quartz crystal and you don't have a quartz crystal and don't have the means to purchase a quartz crystal, then go and look in your backyard or the local park or anywhere for just a random freaking ugly rock. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be something perfect and shiny. It just needs to fulfill a role. And so this is going to require you to be creative. And for you to look at and to be flexible and to look at alternatives. If a spell calls for a specific herb and you don't have that herb and don't have the means for it, there's always alternatives. What can you use in place of that herb? What has a similar energetic alignment? If you've got cinnamon and sugar and salt and cayenne pepper in your spice cabinet, you have the four ingredients that are going to help you do a whole lot of spells. You know, you don't have to have a lot. And it's, you know, as far as an altar goes, it's the exact same thing. What do you have? Do you have a bowl? Do you have a scarf? Do you have a candle? And, you know, the other thing is go to the dollar store, buy a glass encased candle for a dollar. It's not going to be the highest quality, but it's going to work. There are ways to, and go to thrift stores and secondhand stores. I've found amazing, beautiful, antique sometimes pieces, silver pieces at thrift stores for quarters, for nothing. So, you know, that's another thing to do. And I get COVID makes all of what I'm saying a lot more complicated, but there are ways to find what you need inexpensively or alternate with what you already have. But I think the biggest question here is, what do I do besides think and meditate? And that's, you're exactly right. It's more than thinking and meditating. Now is the time for you to start taking action. So all the things that you've been reading and all the things that you've been, you know, looking at and thinking, well, I can't do that because I don't have X, Y, and Z. Now you need to rewrite that spell for what you do have. Alternate X, Y, and Z with other things and do it. Do the thing. You know, and I'm also going to say something here that's the exact opposite, right? You're reading a spell that someone wrote. So you're reading someone's recipe. That recipe may have worked for them. And if you're going to change the recipe and use other products, it may not work for you. So you may have to shift it again or fine tune it or try something else. You're going to be rewriting a recipe without knowing all the details. That's also what witchcraft is about, being experimental, trying it on, seeing how it works, and being willing to fail. You don't need to worry about blowback or hurting yourself magically if you take all the precautions. Cast circles, ground, cleanse yourself, then do the thing. And if it doesn't work, it's just going to fail. It's just not going to work. It's not going to hurt you, you know? So try. That's what I would say. Try.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. I think you said it beautifully, and I think that kind of, again, puts it back in the what past witches have done in past times. They didn't have the mass communication we have, or mass informational way of books and things, and they would learn things and then they would, as you say, fine tune them. And I think that
right.
what we all are. It's again, I think we're in used to fast foods. We're used to fast experiences. We're used to fast, you know, things that are fast. And I guess in a way I look at this and it's like, I want to say, it isn't something that you put in a quarter to your vending machine and you push the button for Cheetos and you get Cheetos out. Not that.
Nope.
That is magic is, and it isn't guaranteed that you're going to even get Cheetos or that your coin is even going to come back to you if it doesn't do anything. So,
right.
You know, you really have to realize to avoid thinking in the terms of what we are used to in our world. What's the guarantee? Do we get a warranty on it? Do we get, you know, all these things? It's magic is not that.
It's right.
Got a lot
yep.
more fluidity. And
right.
that's it. So
yep.
why don't we throw in our quick, our commercial, and
oh,
then we'll come
yes,
back.
Let's take our break. All right, we'll be right back.
Magic is coming your way right after these messages. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30; The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 1 to 2. And Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays 7 to 8. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Well, such a nice, joyous commercial.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am going to give you the choice of which one you want to go with, because obviously, you know, when we look at our time and everything, I figure you were the one that sort of edited some of these, so you can decide which one of the remaining ones you want to go with, and then we'll see how that goes. And I mean, skip around. I just, you know, thought we'd start at the top as we normally do, but I realize we have
yeah.
a minute.
There are several that I hope we have a chance to get to, and I'm thinking maybe we even do like a second round next week to hit the other questions we didn't get to, because some of these are great and some of them make me so mad. So I'm going to go to one of the ones that kind of makes me annoyed.
I think you would. Okay, go for
it. So this is the one from Rosa. So Rosa says, "Hi, I have briefly heard about what the effects period sex can have on TikTok, and now I'm a bit concerned. And the sidebar here, TikTok witchcraft, I got major issues about. But let's go back to the question. The reason why is because my boyfriend at the time and I were each other's first. But when it happened, we sneaked off to the woods and I was on my period. We had to leave because it started raining and he washed himself off with the rainwater. We broke up like 3 months after because he didn't want to get too attached since he's going into the armed forces. However, there is still sexual talk between us every now and then, which has got me wondering if we may have intentionally done something related to witchcraft." So my short and quick answer to this is, no, girl, come on. Give me a fucking break. No, you didn't accidentally, unintentionally bewitch your boyfriend because you had period sex. That's not how this shit works. Stop listening to TikTok witches and do something else. Oh, my God. Like, you can't accidentally do a spell. You can't accidentally, you know, because what you're talking about is bewitching someone, which in my opinion is a curse. You can't accidentally curse someone. So, no, you're absolved of your sins. Don't worry. But what you did do is you and this boy were each other's first. You had a intimate sexual encounter. You were each other's first. So, of course, you're continuing to have sex talk with each other. That's kind of how it goes. you connected on a sexual level, and that hasn't, even though you may not be dating or you may not be officially together, you still have a sexual attachment. If you feel okay with that, then keep having the sex talk. It's totally fine. If you don't feel okay with that, then you may want to do a little cleansing just to clear him out of your system and let it go, and then don't engage with him anymore. But don't worry, girl. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't accidentally have some sort of cursing sex with your first. Like, don't worry. You didn't do anything like that. You, like, dump that fear out of your system. Can you do that? Can you attach someone to you with period sex? Sure, sure. But you have to be super intentional about it. And that's not what is happening here. Anyway, anything you would add?
Holy moly, no. I mean, that one was, you know, pretty. And it's funny, I read that one and I go, this is one of those where either we're going to not do it today or we're going to go full force into it. And you did the full force. I'm impressed. I'm proud here. you know, again, it's a whole nother sidebar about period sex. You know, we have a whole show we could do. Yeah, and that whole thing, and that may be something we will wind up, you know, throwing in at some point. But as far as this is concerned, it's the first. It's the first. You'll never forget your first. I don't care if it's good, bad, or indifferent. And
there's an attachment that comes from that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this is good. It can be beautiful, and like you said, it could be really bad. But it does create something. It's a thing.
It's a thing. And it's powerful because it's the sexual current, procreative current, even if we're not going to procreate, but it's that energy. And so you know, you open that up and you engage and you mingle. Of course, it's going to have a kind of an energy that will continue. And again, as Phoenix has said, if you know, feel that this is something you would like to, you know, kind of, it's not right, or you feel uncomfortable with it in terms of, well, you know, he's off in the armed services now, and, you know, he might not be coming, you know, he might be doing something in a long term, then you can do a cleansing. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The point here is that you need, and that in itself is, you know, it clears maybe some of the emotional energy that you've attached to it, because I think there's more of an emotional energy here than it is a spiritual energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I hope I didn't come across too shitty at the beginning of my response. I'm sorry, but there's been all kinds of TikTok witchcraft drama online lately. So I admit I have some like old lady get off my lawn feelings about this stuff right now, but you know, don't trust everything you see on the internet. Don't trust everything you read in a book. You know, you ask another practitioner, ask an elder, and I don't mean elder as in age. I mean elder as in someone who's been practicing longer than you have. And, you know, at 25, I was an elder compared to a lot of the other people I practiced with because I'd been doing it for 10 years, you know, so it's not about age. Find someone that has more experience and bounce these questions off of them. Don't just go on social media and think like, oh, that's the right answer. Like, you know, your most powerful tool as a witch is discernment.
And, you know, you're talking about rainwater, and rainwater is powerful unto itself. It's a natural cleanser. So I would not say that it, you know, I feel if there was anything there that could have been there, that cleared it off.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, in terms of that. So the other thing, then we'll probably, we've got time for another one. Well, we have Jake, or we have, let's see, one here at the very end. I'm going to give you kind of a Karen. Confused Pentecostal. That one's a long one. I think we're going to need to, we may wind up doing a second show on this because I'm looking at these last, some of these, and it's really, really like,
we
can get
stuff
into more. It's big stuff. So I'll just take this one. Do love spells really work? Are they just it should be say, or are they just a myth? And this was from Simone. Well, here's the point. Love spells work within context to what is going on as well. It is not, and I think we put this back when I was talking about Cheetos and vending machines. Spells, love spells, money spells, spells are desire made real, but it isn't necessarily going to always be a successful wheel. I can want a certain thing, and I make that desire real, and I do a magical spell, and, you know, it doesn't come to pass. Well, it's because there are other things, and, you know, I think a lot of it, it's not a myth, but I think it's been made into a romantic ideal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send it to you because I'm going to wax poetic, and I think I'm backing off from that.
Well, I mean, I think you said it, right? Are love spells real? Yes, they are, for sure. I've done them. I've seen them be successful. If what you're asking is, if I say this incantation and I burn this piece of paper and I, you know, burn this incense, will my true love ring my doorbell 10 minutes later like I've seen in a movie? No. No, that's not how magic works in reality. It's very unlike the movies. Although there are a few movies and TV shows that touch on the edges of reality or get little bits of reality right. But it's not like the fantasy of it. It's a lot more tame and mundane and boring.
Right.
But yes, they really do work. That's what I would say. They really do work.
Yeah, because at this point you have recipes, you have ideas, you have ways to do something, but ultimately there is a certain sense of free will and the things that are going to actually take place within the context of a bigger picture. I mean, we are presently in a pandemic. The idea of certain things happening the way they would have happened when you would have more chance to go out and engage in the world, physical form, is different. So, I was talking to this, actually, I was talking to someone earlier about the idea that, you know, communication, internet, Zoom, FaceTime, whatever, is one part of interacting in a relationship, finding a love situation. But it is the physical interactions that we do eventually need to do. And, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons why magic with love spells has to be there. I mean, if you say, I want, you know, I don't know, I'm going to be asking my age here, but I want this actor who I love and I know he's the right person for me, and it's just that's the way it is. And you start going, is this something that is going to actually be possible?
Right.
Not really.
Right.
The realistic point of reference comes in. So
yeah.
I would just say, you know, work on the focus, work on what you're doing, but realize we have other energies that come in on it and other situations, if they're in relationship, if, you know, whatever. Way more things about love spells. Very complicated in film, right? Do we have time for another, and do you see one you want to throw in?
Yeah, I think we have time for another. I think we should go with this love spell bend that we're on. So Nicole asks, I was wondering, is it possible to cast a love spell under a waning crescent moon?
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the short answer is yes. Of course it's possible.
Short answer, yes, no, yes. Okay. A waning crescent moon. So you're it's a growing moon. So, yes. It would be something.
I mean,
Yeah.
When it comes to spells, of course, it's ideal if you can do it in the perfect timeline with the perfect moon phase, with the perfect day of the week, but it doesn't always work that way. So if you need to do the working now and it's not the ideal moon phase, then do the working now. You know, it's, especially because we're talking about love spells, I'm going to make some assumptions here. So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but if someone's like, shit, it's a waning moon and I want to do a love spell, is that okay? I'm guessing you're in a situation where your lover is growing distant or has broken up with you or is has a wandering eye and you want to do something now. That's my guess about this question. So do the thing now. If you're in, that's for me, that's emergency services magic. If you're in a relationship and the person that you're with is being unfaithful, is wants to break up, is unhappy, and you want to do some repair work or fix that or get things back online, then that's emergency services. Do it now. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. It doesn't matter what the moon phase is. You do it now. Then, you know, you start the working, you do the thing, you get things going, and then you look it up and say, okay, when's the full moon or when is the moon waxing and when would be a better time to do a more in-depth, intensive spell? And then do the thing then, but start it now. Don't wait. Don't wait if you need to get it going right this minute.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That totally is right there. Because we have been, as readers and practitioners and root workers and, you know, magical consultants, asked times when, if you were looking at it, like, you know, I have a client on Tuesday that calls me in emergency and says, you know, I need to have some love work. Well, Tuesday's the day of Mars and war and things like that. And you're like, okay, this is what you need to do. It's not, you know, we do something immediately. And then we give it more, like, okay, so we'll start on Wednesday with communication, and we might do some love, more warm fuzzy love work on Friday. But if you got to do something now, you got to do something now. And
mm-hmm.
you know, all of us sit and look at our moon phases and our times of, I mean, for heaven's sakes, look at what we've got in the big planetary astrology with planets that are retrograde, that are, you know, in bad aspects here and there and everywhere. And, you know, if we were going to sit and think about something like that, we wouldn't do shit. We'd just sit here like a lump.
Yep.
So, but truthfully, yeah. And I think you're right. There's probably something more there with that question. But be that as it is, it is something to take into consideration, but again, I think both you and I practice it where, you know, rigidity is, you know, if we went by every rule and everything, that's neither one of how we function in terms of working for ourselves or others or ritual work or other, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got 7 minutes, I think. I'm looking at, we've got, you know, several that I think we will plan to do part two, Ask a Witch, next week. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds good. Sounds like fun, because some of these questions are interesting and fun and hilarious.
Yeah, you've got a lot more here than, you know, when I started reading over this, I was going, oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's some intense stuff, so I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, and I think that ultimately we'll be able to get more information out on that time frame. And, you know, we spent a lot of time chatting about what we had done before, while we were on break, so I think that also added to our timing. But and then after that, once we've done our part two Ask a Witch next week, we'll start back in on our major arcana journey with, I believe it's the Temperance card is what we're supposed to be at now, but
that sounds
about
right.
A good one before we get into some of the more intense ones again. But
Have a question, or if you didn't hear your question, we're going to do more next week, but you can still go to our website, witchpriestesscauldron.com, and put in your question there. And when we do a future Ask the Witch episode, you might just hear your question. Anything about witchcraft, paganism, gods, spells, you name it, we're happy to answer it.
And we certainly will banter and find things that will make it more interesting. I mean, we obviously can be very textbook, but I think neither Phoenix nor I will probably do that. We have a different way of bringing the information to people, so obviously that's a good one. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week, definitely, and obviously the words stay safe are always important, no matter how strange that may seem. Let's see, anything else we needed to say before we take off running to our next tasks at hand?
I don't think so.
Oh, we're kind of ahead of ourselves here. We've got 5 minutes. I mean, I'm kind of stunned, or 4 minutes, actually.
Yeah,
we're usually running
at
the very last, but I think we're fine. Yeah. I think that, you know, getting back together and chit-chatting and talking about these things, we'll have more, and we'll probably get more long-winded, which both of us can do very well.
Yeah.
next week. So I think we will bid everyone farewell, and we will see you on the radio next week.
Yeah, have a good one.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.